through this sermon series, I've also included into your notes this little prayer calendar. And this is, it's not a companion piece. It's not something that you're going to, you know, be doing while we're going through the series. This is just for you if you want to be praying the names and attributes of God. The ones that have the green stars by them are the attributes that we will be looking at each week. But you can see there's a bunch. And in a week or so, I'm going to give you another one of these that lists more of his attributes. And I'll talk about what his attributes mean and all that, because not all of you are really deep theologians, so you might even not even know what an attribute of God is. And so we're gonna talk about that during the whole sermon series. You also have some notes, and today I don't really have any fill-ins because there's a bunch of verses I want to talk about first, because this is the introduction to the series. But what I want you to do is go to the back side where we have our mission statement. And you all know that, you know, our mission statement is that we love Jesus, we journey together, we bring hope, and then we also have certain values that we hold to as a church. And the top value, though not one is more important than the other, but the top one, though it's not more important than the other, but the top one is prayer. That we seek God for everything. And that's one of, that's, you know, our top value of the values that we hold to as a church. And I just wanted you to see our values, what we hold to, and prayer being our highest value, we learn about God through the Bible. So most of you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please let us know that you don't have a Bible, because we will give you a Bible. If you want two Bibles, one for your car and one for your home, we will give you two Bibles as long as you're going to use them. And but we know that we learn about God through the Bible, but we communicate with God through prayer. Okay, that's how we talk to God. That's how we hear from God. That's how we express our heart's desires, our discontents, our joys, our hopes, our aspirations, and our failures. We communicate to God through prayer. And prayer is simply talking with and listening to God. Prayer is a two-way communication, not one-way. It's when we talk to God and we listen to God. And from the beginning, God has invited mankind to talk to him, to have an ongoing, open conversation with him. And so I'm opening up, we're not talking on the topic of prayer, but prayer is integral to understanding God. And I'm going to talk a little bit more on this in just a second, but I want you to go to this next slide, because there's a passage that I want us to see about prayer. There's all types of passages in Scripture, but this is one of them. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is an incredible blessing to us. And this passage is just one of these ones that's just loaded with a whole bunch of other information that right now I don't really want to get into. Hey, Russell, I'm going to have you do me a favor. I'm going to have you turn on these lights so I can see my notes a little better, the spots, and then turn off the one above the drum kit, if that makes any sense. And there's that half, yeah. Lee, I forgot you have full control back there. So, yeah, there. The slider's on the wall. Yeah. Sorry about that. It just was distracting me, and I couldn't see my notes real well. But anyhow, going back to this prayer thing, from the beginning, God has invited us into prayer and to have this ongoing conversation with him. And that's why he's telling us, don't be anxious. Come to me. And some of us deal a lot with anxieties and nervousness or uncertainties. And he says, just give it all to me. Send it to me, and I will send you my peace. And it's going to way blow you away. It's going to transcend your understanding. It's going to go past what you understand about me. And it'll help you guard your hearts that is made clean and pure in Christ. It'll help guard your mind and the way you think. So prayer is your invitation and opportunity to talk to God. So it's important to understand who it is you're talking to. Does that make sense? So as high as a value we have on prayer, not just as a church, but as people, we also have to understand who we're talking to. Who is this person? Who is this God that has called us into relationship to him? And so with this next slide, I want you to know that knowing God, knowing what God is like, we believe correctly about him. Knowing what God is like, could you go past that slide? Sorry. I sent you a wrong slide, I think, earlier. So, knowing what God is like, we believe correctly about him. Then we can pray to God with courage and with confidence. Does that make sense? Or should I re-say it? Because I realize I just got kind of interrupted there. I'll just kind of say it in a different way. When we know what God is like, then we correctly seek him for the correct things. We ask him rightly for the things that he rightly can do and accomplish or wants to do for us. When we understand what God is like, it's hard to determine what is from God and what isn't from God when we don't know what he's like. And so that's why at the very beginning of your bulletin here and the information that I provided about what this series is, that's what it says to us. Knowing what God is like is important because it gives you discernment. If we don't know how God responds, how he acts and who he is, it's hard to determine what is from God and what isn't. And so that's why I'm bringing this prayer into knowing what God is about and how he acts, how he doesn't act, what he does and doesn't do. So let me go to the next slide here. You've heard me say this a number of times, that ultimately when you boil down what the meaning of sin is in just normal English, in normal human response, it is believing a wrong belief about God. You believe something about God that's just not true, that he doesn't always hear you, that he doesn't always know what's going on, or he does see you all the time and doesn't care. Or you have some wrong belief about God that you're out sinning his grace, or that he's mad at you, or that he's got some sort of grudge against you, or that he doesn't trust you. All these things are false beliefs. And ultimately, when you boil down what sin is, and we've got our fancy theological statements of what sin is, you know, that it's some, and you have these really fancy ways of describing it. But, you know, when you narrow, real narrow, to where young Reuben here understands it, it's just being bad. It's being naughty, you know, doing things that are not as they should be. So as children, we already know what sin is. It's doing something that we're not supposed to be doing. But as an adult, your sins stem from a wrong belief about God. I can pretty much guarantee almost everything you've involved yourself in regarding sin boils back down to some sort of wrong belief about God. And when we believe that he's different from what he actually is, we act on what isn't true. And we blame God for acting wrongly or think that he can't or won't act at all. And we get our thoughts about God all messed up. So to the next slide goes back to the question, what is God like? What is he like? Because this is what our main theme is. These things that we call the attributes of God. And in your sermon title, and the subtitle says that the attributes of God are how God describes himself. So in other words, when humans started doing what we call systematizing the Bible or systematic theology or meaning, like we take what we know about God and putting it into some pattern that our brains can make sense of, more like math or breaking down a sentence structure, these attributes of God are not things that we have said about God. The attributes of God are things we find in Scripture of what he says about himself. And it's important for us to understand that these are not man-made things. These are God-made things that he wants us to understand about himself. And as we move forward, we're going to look at different ones. And so in your notes, I don't know where I put them, but they're in it's on the back of your notes. I put what are going to be the next six attributes we're going to learn, because there's a bunch of them. There's a whole bunch of them, but we're just going to focus on these six. And they have, some of them have fancy words next to them. You know, God knows everything. It's called omniscience. Like some of you have a conscience. Well, he has omniscience. He has like a full knowledge of everything, so on and so forth. But these attributes are things that God says he has, that he is declaring to us about himself. It's how he describes himself. They're qualities of God that distinguish him from all other beings that he sometimes, though, shares with us. So he has the attribute, let's say, of love. So he shares that with us and says, I want to give that quality to you as well. But he also has the attribute of omnipresence. He can be everywhere at one time, and you can't be. You wish you could be sometimes at work, And those of you who are parents, sometimes you wish you could be at two or four places at one time. But that's reserved for God. So sometimes he shares his attributes with us, and sometimes he doesn't. And as we continue on in this study over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at these six attributes that are on your notes there in the back. That as I'm trying to define, as I try to define them, as I try to box in the infinite one, the eternal one, the God of glory, as I try to define him, I'm going to guarantee that my descriptions are going to be limited because of my own fallibility. So as I'm teaching, if I share something you think, that didn't make a lot of sense, don't raise your hand, okay? But write it down, that didn't make sense, this little thing you said, and then come and ask me about it. Because we just cannot describe something like God. He describes himself to us. We don't describe him to him. Is that right? Do you understand? Okay, so, but I'm going to try to at least say things that are true. Okay, so that much I'm going to do is I'm going to try to say things that are true about God. So you have in your notes a whole bunch of verses, and I put those verses in there for a reason, and you're going to see why. These are classic passages about God and what he says about himself, not what we say about him. And some of them are taken from a translation called God's Word, and so that's why it says GW next to it. And I'm going to encourage you about something. A lot of you have the New American Standard Translation or English Standard or the Holman or NIV or a couple of other, you know, Bible translations that are wonderful. You should also have with you or in your phone or however else you study Scripture, you should read also from paraphrases, in my opinion, or from translations that are literal translations but using, let me just say this, easier English words, okay? Sixth grade English, fourth grade English, those type of English words, because sometimes you kind of get it better, actually, than the NASV. Though the NASV, the King James, the New King James, the English Standard Version, they're wonderful translations, and they're better for correct translation, but sometimes your heart doesn't resonate with them. Does that make sense? And my recommendation is this one, God's Word. God's Word is a literal translation, meaning it's taken from the original Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, but just translated into an easier-to-read English. So that's what some of these are from. But here's what God says about himself. Can you discover God's hidden secrets, or are you able to find the Almighty's limits? God's wisdom is higher than heaven. What can you do? It's deeper than the depths of hell. What can you know? It is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. Didn't we just sing that song? He didn't even know I was going to preach on this, you know, but that's how God works. And that song, probably as I was reading this, you probably started recognizing, hey, we just sang that song. Here's the next one. He's the one who cannot die. He lives in light that no one can come near. No one can see him. No one has seen him, nor can they see him. Honor and power belong to him forever. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And finally, in Romans, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. These are just passages that I want you to see how God describes himself in this huge, in huge ways that are just inconceivable. And so my task is to make these things conceivable to you over the next 6 weeks. And we're going to also have Jeremy teach one of the times. He's going to be teaching us the easiest one. So I gave him the easy one, which will be, I believe it's on October 8th, but it's the fifth one, that God is a holy God. And what does that mean? And again, I want to remind us of one other thing. As I teach these attributes, let's say, you know, that God is holy, or God is love, or God is ever present in your life, I don't want to just teach it so that you go, okay, I now know something about God. We're also going to give you application of what does that mean to me? Like, now that I know God is holy, what does that mean to me? Like, how does that apply to my personal life? How does it apply to my daily life? And so hopefully our application will be as strong as our presentation about what God is like. So even though God is a perfect and infinite and eternal being, in other words, he's better than us, even because of all these things, and he's different than us, though we are created in his image, he doesn't separate himself from us because of what he is like, because of who he is. In Isaiah 57, it says, "The high and lofty one lives forever, and his name is holy." This is what he says: "I live in a high and holy place." Here's this statement: I'm above you, I'm eternal, I'm, you know, bigger than you, I'm holier than you. But then the rest of the passage says, "But I am with those who are crushed and humble. I will renew the spirit of those who are humble and the courage of those who are crushed." It's just a beautiful statement of God saying, hey, even though I'm bigger, better, everything than you, I'm not away from you, though. I'm near you. I love you. I possess you. I adore you. And I want to be with you. But there's some conditions in that. A little bit of humility goes a long way, apparently, with God. Okay? Because he mentions it twice here. And if you've been crushed in some way, he sees your estate. He sees what's going on. But nothing is more important, believer. Nothing. In your walk with God, as essential as prayer is, nothing is more important than getting to know what God is like. Because like I said, then you know how to pray more effectively. You know how to share more effectively, listen more effectively, lead more effectively, follow more effectively. Okay, so it's so important that we understand who God is. What is God like? And in Daniel chapter 11, some of you are into prophecy, like end times prophecy stuff. I know a whole bunch of stuff about that, but I'm just not into it. Does that make sense? And so I don't teach a lot on it. But Daniel 11, verse 32, the second half, it's a prophetic description of the Antichrist. Okay, and there's like a big thing going on in this whole chapter that I don't want to get into. But God starts describing through the prophet Daniel the Antichrist, the one who hates God's people, and what the end times are going to be like. And here's what that passage says. It says that the people who know their God will be strong, and they'll take action. And I don't know if I put that passage. Yeah, it's that last red passage in your notes there. And I want you to kind of just think about that for a second. The people who know their God. In other words, that's what this is an invitation to do, is to come to know God even more intimately. The people who know their God, you're going to be strong. And you will not be taken away by the enemy, and instead you will take action against him. You will thwart his schemes. You will expose his strategies. You'll have victory where you thought you had defeat. You'll have recovery where you thought you had tripped for the last time that was irrecoverable, and so on and so forth. We're going to get further into this as the weeks wear on. But people who know their God, because of their knowledge of God, their experience with God, they will be strong and take action. Because you know what? The knowledge of God isn't hidden. It's not reserved for a few people who study it and know a whole bunch of deep stuff about God because they read a lot or they go to seminary or they listen to a lot of sermons. The knowledge of God isn't hidden or reserved for a few. But I want you to understand something about God. You don't learn about what God is like by memorizing the attributes of God. Okay? So in other words, you don't just take this little list and decide, I know everything about God because I memorized this. I spent each day memorizing it. Now I know 30 names and attributes of God. That's not at all what happens. You learn what God is like. And I want you to hear this, because some of this is what some of you are going through right now in your lives. You learn what God is like when you're going through the darkness. And God's light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Yeah, we know that from John 1:5. You learn what God is like when you're overwhelmed and you're burdened. and your arms are heavy. But God arms you with strength, and he makes your way perfect, according to Psalm 18:3. You learn what God is like when you're full of fear and you're full of uncertainty. When you feel the most alone in the valley of darkness, but then his rod and his staff comfort you because you realize that he is with you, Psalm 23. These are the things we know about God. And that's how we learn about God, is by going through the experiences that test his attributes within our lives, where we lean on his attributes, where we lean on who he is, because we've discovered we aren't. Okay? We aren't all-powerful or all-knowing or all-strong or all-loving or all-merciful or all-hopeful or all-kind or all-gracious. We learn these things about ourselves, and these are the ways that we learn about God. And so I just want to close this out like this, just a simple little introductory primer, and hopefully some of these verses have resonated with what you're going through in your current life. But there's two people I'm going to quote from right now. And I put these in your bulletin because I thought that the quotes were so good. Now, first of all, if you know anything about a guy named A.W. Tozer, you're just going to always get a good quote. A.W. Tozer used to be the president of our denomination, of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and he was called the 20th century's prophet. Because A.W. Tozer had the ability to think really super deep, bring it to the surface really lightly, but it hurt you, like, right in the heart. Because he would just speak truth, and you would say, ouch, I can't deny that. And he was really good at ripping on pastors and leaders and seminary professors, as well as just the common churchgoer who, you know, goes once in a while or whatever. So he was like an equal opportunity offender in terms of, you know, hurting us, but in a good way. Because what he would say would be true. You would just say it's true. And it drives you back to God. And so the first quote is this one. I'm assuming I'm on the same slide pattern. So here's this from Tozer. The decline of the knowledge of the holy has brought on our troubles. A rediscovery of the majesty of God will go a long way towards curing them. It's important to keep our moral practices sound and our inward attitudes right, while our idea of God is erroneous or inadequate. If we would bring back spiritual power to our lives, we must begin to think of God more nearly as he is. I'm going to warn you about Tozer, though. Tozer comes from a different century. And so you got to read a few pages of Tozer before your brain kind of clicks in. It's kind of like reading Shakespeare or something. And so there's a book that this comes from that some of what I'm teaching will come out of. It's called The Knowledge of the Holies. It's considered probably one of the greatest volumes written about the attributes of God ever, because it's readable. You know what I mean? It's like it makes sense, and it applies to your life as you read it. And in the preface of The Knowledge of the Holies, this name of this book, is another man who does the preface. He's the one that writes about what Tozer's about to write about, and it's this next quote. And here's what it says. Amongst the sins to which the human heart is prone, hardly any other is more hateful to God than idolatry. For idolatry is at bottom a libel of his character. The idolatrous heart assumes that God is other than he is, in itself a monstrous sin, and a substitute for the true God, one made after his own likeness. Always this God will conform to the image of the one who created it, and will be base or pure, cruel or kind, according to the moral state of the mind from which it emerges. A God begotten in the shadows of a fallen heart will quite naturally be no true likeness of the true God. And again, I put these in here because I kind of want you to go back and reread them. You know what I mean? Because, like, sometimes they get lost, and, you know, some pastor gets up here and he just starts droning on about some book that they read, and you're like, you can't connect because you're thinking about lunch or something else. So these are in your notes because they're just so true. Because it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. How you answer that question, what is God like, will predict your spiritual future. Okay, so if you have an erroneous view of God, then your spirituality won't be healthy, because you'll keep tripping over the same thing over and over again. So how you answer that question which is the primary question, what is God like? It's going to predict your spiritual future. A correct understanding of God is important to your spiritual life. I believe, and this applies to everyone in this room, and I don't care if you're 4 years old or 400 years old, I believe much of your ongoing fears, your anxieties, your guilt, your frustrations, your shames, your addictions, the things that you wrestle with all day, every day, can be traced to a wrong belief about God and how it relates to forgiveness, how it relates to freedom, how it relates to longevity with Him. A low view of God destroys the good news of Jesus. That's like the bottom line. And so as we go out as a church to bring hope, we have to have a high view of God. So when we say to somebody, God can heal you, but it'll take time, we get a guy like Alex, who's been in our midst now for a few months, continuing to grow. Because we believe God can do that. When we pray for our sister Sandra as she's getting healing from her brain, brain stem surgery, we believe God can heal. And as those healings begin to happen, we have someone like Dwight, who used to have cancer apparently, but doesn't anymore. Our sister over here, Michelle. Remember when you were supposed to also have some sort of heart problem that you didn't have all of a sudden? Yeah, but God's bigger. And we believe that, and we pray about these things. When we have a correct view of God, then all things are possible. So that's what I'm hoping to get from this series. Does that make sense? That we'll walk away saying, oh, I didn't know about that regarding God and how I'm viewing Him. So a low view of God destroys the good news of Jesus. And so what I want to do is I want to close this out. We're going to take communion because this is our normal communion Sunday. But here's what I want to challenge you to do regarding communion this time. Is when we pass out the communion, again, hold on to the wafer, hold on to the cup. But when Scripture tells us to be circumspect, or where Scripture says be reflective, you know, contemplate on your week or on your month and what things you've involved yourself in, begin to ask God, are there things about Him that you believe that aren't true? And would He reveal them to you through this series? He might not reveal them to you today, or He might be revealing them to you and you're ignoring it, or you don't want to believe it. But throughout this series, would He reveal to you things that you need to know about Him that are holding back your spiritual future, the truths of God? And so, Russell, I'm going to call you up, and I'm not sure how you and I had talked about how we were going to do this, and it's lost to my memory now. And so Russell's going to lead us in some worship, but I want to say one last thing as he sets up. And then also, if I could have Dwight and a couple other guys prepare to pass out the wafer, is in your bulletin, we have an opportunity to journey together, as I said, with Sandra and the family. We also have an opportunity to bring hope with some of us going to the Dominican Republic. And it is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And I think as a church, we can raise a good chunk of this money. But there are people in the Dominican Republic that live in poverty like you've never seen or never experienced. Even if you go down into Mexico, there's worse poverty than you're seeing in parts of Mexico. And Pastor Rick and Tammy are missionaries there. They're our partner missionaries. I've known Rick most of my ministry career. They are doing the most awesome mix of humanitarian and gospel outreach that I've ever seen, as they're creating jobs and as they're bringing health into people's lives and whatnot. And so these are opportunities that I believe as a church we can continue to tie into as we also begin to refocus on Walker Elementary because school's starting back up, as we start to focus again on our Muslim outreach out in El Cajon. These are things as a church that we love Jesus, we journey together, and we bring hope through. Heavenly Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, God, I pray the thing that I asked for all of us to pray, but I'm praying it for us, but I'm praying it for me too, that over the next 6 weeks, that You will reveal to me the things about You, the attributes about You that I just don't believe, or that I don't know. And God, I know I've passed the classes that required me to learn these things. I know that when I went through ordination, I had to restate these things verbally and using verses and memorized statements. But God, I want to be able to study and review and present this stuff new and fresh each week. So Father, would you show me, as you show each one in this room, something each week, an area that I just need to know more about you so I can trust you more in, as it relates to your presence or about your knowledge, about your love. And God, as we take communion, I pray right now that our hearts would be circumspect in that. And Father, if there is any unforgiveness in our lives as individuals, Father, would you right now please forgive our sins as we prepare ourselves to be with you, a holy God, in communion with you. God, there is so much freedom in forgiveness. And God, I pray for those who are asking for forgiveness for some sin in their life that maybe they've committed today or this week or this month, that they just feel so much shame over or guilt. God, I pray right now that they would receive your forgiveness, that they would reach out and take what is abundantly there for the giving, for the offering, for the taking. God, help us to receive what you are presenting to us right now, your forgiveness. And so as these elements of the communion go out, the bread and the juice, I pray, Father, that we would remain in a worshipful, circumspectful mindset. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.